I've heard of economy drives, but London to Delhi on 1 gallon of petrol? It's ridiculous.
We're burning rubber now.
Welcome to Scrap Heap Challenge and the first of the semi-finals. Whoever's victorious today will win one of the coveted places in the grand final. Once again, we will be testing the team's ingenuity to the max. So, what have we got in store for them this week?
Simple challenge this week. All the teams have got to do is build a one-person vehicle that will carry them the maximum possible distance on just this amount of petrol. Whoever gets the furthest will cruise straight through to the Scrap Heap Challenge final. So let's meet the teams.
In a fetching shade of pink, the Bodgers are back. They're the team of motor-mad London bikers. There's Scrap Heap veteran Bowser Munson.
In fact, I might actually have to sit at the front to counterbalance it, because I'm a bit nutritionally challenged.
His wife, Babs.
It's not going to float, is it? Bowser, what have you got hold of at the moment? Because we need some more buoyancy aids.
And best mate, perennial optimist Lurch.
Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way.
They scored a fantastic victory with their outlandish amphibious vehicle in the heat, sinking the Navy and sailing through to this semi-final. To help them along, the Bodgers have picked up expert Steve Trippier. He's competed in loads of mileage marathon contests in his life as an engineering technician at the University of Central Lancashire. Taking issue with the Bodgers, in the green corner, it's Inner Spin. They're three washing machine repairmen from Peterborough. There's self-confessed motormouth Trevor.
I think this is an all-weather sheet for the Millennium Dome.
Team captain Rob.
Well, as long as they don't need it, we'll have it.
And quiet pal Sean, who's, well, quiet.
Sort of two-inch diameter.
Yes, you better. When they're not repairing washing machines, the Spins play in a rock band. And they treated us to an unplugged rendition at lunchtime.
All over town. Ooh, I guess you gotta put your flat feet on the ground.
The Spins took to the skies in the first round, winning the flying machine challenge with their fabulous green hang glider. And bringing Cambridge therapists, the Brainy Bunch, down to earth with a bump to fly through to this semi-final.
Brilliant.
This week, the Spins have hit upon special guest Joss Darling. He's a lecturer in mechanical engineering at Bath University, so he's not used to getting his fingernails dirty. But what he doesn't know about super-efficient vehicles ain't worth knowing.
Welcome back, Scrap Heap veterans. The piles of junk await you. Spinners, are you ready? Bodgers, are you ready? Well, in the great Scrap Heap tradition, you have 10 hours in which to make a wonderful machine that will carry you around the globe. On this. And your time starts now. Me. The record is 8,000 miles to the gallon. I hope they make the seats comfy.
What do we need? Engines, obviously.
Right, we need a lot of engines, yeah.
Any particular type? Mopeds. Automatic mopeds, anything like that?
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah.
The trick of today is add lightness.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, I mean, on that basis, actually, we're all right, because we're nine stone weaklings, so that's good news, really.
What sort of design are you talking about? Two, three, or four wheels?
A few wheels on the ground, the less friction we've got.
Are we sort of looking for a frame that sort of...
Well, we're going to have to build the frame, obviously. Yeah.
Something like that, with your driven wheel at the back.
Yeah, something along those lines.
The key to maximising fuel efficiency is to minimise the vehicle's resistance to movement, from the air and from the ground. To reduce air resistance, the cross-sectional area of the vehicle needs to be kept down, so small and streamlined is best. Even more important is the friction of the wheels on the ground, or what's called rolling resistance. To keep this down, the vehicle needs to be as light as possible, so there's less force pushing downwards rather than forwards. It's also important to reduce the tyre surface on the ground, so thin tyres are better than fat ones, and as few as possible is favourite.
To keep rolling resistance down again, it's probably better to try and go for three wheels rather than four,
yes, right.
As long as we can keep the thing stable.
Yeah.
Two at the front, one at the back, or really?
I have three on one side.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Lean a lot, I suppose.
Any tops or anything out there?
In the race, we've stipulated that all team members have to drive, and the fact that the bodges are heavy and the spins light could affect their decisions, particularly on engines.
On the 50 mopeds,
anything like that?
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah.
So what are we looking at? Lawnmower engine, strimmer engine, that sort of thing?
Yeah, again, four-stroke or two-stroke.
Four strokes are probably more
fuel efficient, yeah. But you can't get small ones.
If it looks good, shove it in the back, bring it back. If we don't need it, bin it.
While the bodgers abuse their opponents, the team scavengers, armed with their shopping lists, hit the scrap heap. The bodgers are looking for big, powerful engines to help get their bulky bodies around the course. The spins are after daintier motors to suit their scrawny frames. Both teams are also after sturdy, lightweight wheels and various bits and pieces for their bodywork.
Ah, oh, yes, we've got it.
All a bike found.
Once a biker, always a biker. Lurch is tickled pink with his moped find. The spins have found their first engine too, but Rob's not happy about its weight.
It depends. Is that heavy?
Quite heavy, yeah. It's quite a heavy engine.
Yeah.
I think we need another engine.
I mean, I would say it wants to be sort of half that way. Look what I found.
While the Greens want slimline, the Bodgers want bulk. But Steve's proving a bit choosy on the engine front.
Yeah, it's two-stroke.
That moped engine's too weedy. Will a lawnmower pass muster?
Number one, rotary mower, no clutch. I would say very little use.
But Sean's laid his hands on a lovely lightweight hedge trimmer engine for the Greens.
Excellent. Little two-stroke. Lovely job. Right. A ladder?
Yeah.
Right. I've also found a wooden coffin. Is that any good?
The Greens are almost there. A lightweight engine, a ladder for their chassis, and Trev's dead chuffed with his latest find.
Down, just drop it straight down.
And better luck on the Bodger's side. Even Bowser has trouble lifting it. So surely this one's big enough to please picky Steve.
It's an anti-corp economy model as well there. Oh, it's electric start, this one as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
The man from the engineering department of Central Lancashire University, he say yes.
There's one just around the corner.
While they're all getting busy, let's see how the professionals do it.
For over 20 years, the annual Shell Mileage Marathon has been the race for super-economical cars. It started in 1977 as a reaction to the oil crisis. Petrochemical companies thought it prudent to plan ahead for lean times and started a competition for super-efficient vehicles. To get the best results, the fanciest vehicles are exceedingly aerodynamic, super-lightweight, and use special low-friction tyres. The best teams also do all sorts of clever fiddly things to increase their engine efficiency, but our teams won't have time for any of that. But they might be able to use another trick up the mileage marathon aficionado's sleeve. It's a technique called coast and burn, in which the vehicles get up to a high speed by burning fuel, then cut their engines and coast on their momentum. In our race, we'll be giving the teams just over half a pint of fuel. And one way they might deploy it is on this cunning coast and burn strategy. Seasoned veteran Steve certainly seems to be a fan of it, as he's excitedly telling his brawny, bodging teammates all about it.
A coast and burn is going to be the best way to get the economy up, whereby we run the engine, accelerate the vehicle up, let's say, to 20 miles an hour. We've got to average 10.
Yeah.
Then we switch the engine off and coast for as far as we can.
We've actually got to stop the engine.
Yeah, we're better at stopping the engine. There's no point in keeping it running, because all the time it's running, it's using fuel.
Joss ain't no fool, but he has other ideas for the spins.
Of course, the trouble with switching it off all the time is you've got to start the thing.
Yeah.
So if we're going to go down that, we need an electric start, or we need a pull start, and there's that reliability business.
Again,
the good thing about trying to keep it running is that hopefully once it's going, it's going.
Yeah.
And the other thing with switching it on and off is it gets cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you drive your car, you need the choke. It's not efficient when it's cold.
So the teams are planning very different strategies for the race, and remember, all team members have to drive. The big biking Bodger team are planning to use their bulky moped engine to get them up to a good speed. Then they'll turn it off and freewheel for a while, before switching it back on and starting the whole process again. The lightweight Green Spins reckon their best bet is to use their small hedge trimmer motor and just keep it running constantly at very low revs, without the danger of turning it off and having to restart it. So we could be in for a bit of a hare and tortoise race.
King of the tortoises is this week's judge, granddaddy of low economy, 71-year-old Harold Marfleet. A mileage marathon veteran, he's designed and built fleets of parsimonious people carriers and is a current world record holder for the most efficient diesel-powered vehicle. The latest creation of this stingy septuagenarian is this solar-powered vehicle that can achieve a staggering 10 miles an hour. So what does he think of how our teams are getting on?
Well, I think the green team there, if they're using that very lightweight engine, being a, 21cc, two-stroke.
And that's powerful enough to push someone along?
Yeah? Oh, sure, yeah. Well, some of the smaller machines and engines on the Shell Mileage event are down to about 5-6cc. Right. And also the other thing is, of course, the team members are light, so they can afford to have a very light structure within the vehicle.
Whereas the bodges are a little bit...
Well built?
Yes, they're very well built.
I've gone for a more powerful engine, a 90cc, and being a four-stroke, technically should be far more efficient than the two-stroke.
Right.
Two-strokes and four-strokes are the two main types of engine. Two-strokes are the more rough and ready. They're in primitive mopeds, lawnmowers, and the Spins hedge trimmer. They have only two strokes per cycle, so they're faster and produce more power. But they're less efficient because some fuel is wasted out of the exhaust valve without being burned. Four strokes are found in nearly all motor vehicles, including the Pink's moped. They have four stages to the engine cycle, so they're slower. But they're more economical because no fuel is wasted like it is in the two-stroke. On the face of it, the more efficient four-stroke seems preferable. But it's all a balance between the weight of the machine, the efficiency of the engine, and the team's driving strategy. And whether or not it's a winner, Captain Rob thinks the Green's hedge trimmer engine is the bee's knees.
And I've always wanted to play with one of these because they're such a fun engine.
Yeah, they're just so simple.
A lot of those little mini bikes and that run on a similar sort of engine. Have you seen these little tiny mini bikes?
Oh, I know, what kids think.
Yeah, like really small,
Did I hear that engine firing up?
Yeah, it runs beautiful, yeah.
Really?
So the Green team are going to go for... They're going to keep their engine running all the time. Is that a... A good plan.
Yes, for that size engine, that, and they could keep the revs low and probably get a reasonable MPGs. Mm. Red Team have got this problem of refiring their engine up, and whether that's going to work all the time on.
Our experience on Scrap Heap is that if you. That it won't. It's quite simple. I can't think of a better way of putting it.
Not the electrics.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, he's the boss now.
You're sorted, aren't you?
Done. Welding.
We've got it, Aaron.
You've got some welding to do. I bet you've
got that. We're just going to drive it like this.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? They do good mileage. Theoretically, then, you are at a disadvantage being the slightly heavier team. I mean,
I would think we're probably at a little bit of a disadvantage, yes.
You're having salad for lunch then, are you, Bezza?
No. I don't eat salad and I don't do diet coke.
He's not having anything. What are you on about?
So if all the years of overindulgence really have put the Bodgers at a disadvantage, how are they going to win?
Well, we were thinking of going in for the coasting and burning.
It means you accelerate and you give it a bit of power to get you going up to the speed.
And switch off the engine and coast for as far as you can.
Right.
And then switch your engine back on again before you stop and accelerate off again.
And there, of course, extra weight is good for the momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. No, well, it is, isn't it?
It depends on whether it's uphill or not.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's fairly flat circuit.
So the Bodgers have their design pretty well worked out. They're going to take the 90cc Honda engine from their moped and use its chain to drive a single back wheel. They plan to build a chassis from box metal and have two wheels at the front which will steer. At the moment, they're planning a rather treacherous-looking head-first driving position. Time to check on how the lightweight Green team are getting on.
Keep whirling them in.
Tell you what, we're going to have the best-looking lawn, aren't we?
Are you feeling at a bit of an advantage, though, over on this side, because you're all a bit more spelt than they are over there?
That sounds kind of you to say that.
But seriously, does that make a big difference?
Well,
I mean, do you have an inherent advantage?
Yeah, well, the thing is, rolling resistance is dependent on weight, right? Proportional to weight. So if you double the weight, you double the rolling resistance.
other advantage with us being light is that the vehicle itself can be weaker. Doesn't have to be as strong.
Yeah.
So that's why we're perhaps going for a smaller engine.
Yeah, that's about right.
So, lightweight engine, lightweight team. All they need now is a nice lightweight chassis. Yeah.
I want to talk to Rob about your chassis, if I may call it that.
Woo!
Which of these fantastic options are we looking like?
I mean, we had quite favourable results in the last round with step ladders.
Right.
And they are very strong.
Sound so technical.
They're so light and strong.
Yeah.
That, and I think for this application, again, it's going to be the main frame of the... of the car or tricycle or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Because of its inherent lightness and strength.
So you're just teasing us with these other goodies around here?
I bear no responsibility for those at all. I have nothing to do with those at all.
So the green team are happy with their engine and delighted with their ladder-based chassis. But they have one big problem. They haven't worked out how to get the power from the engine to the wheels. There are really only two efficient transmission options. The first is chain drive. The engine's linked to the wheel by a chain and toothed sprockets, just like on a bike. It's the most efficient option but has to be perfectly aligned or the chain could come off, leaving the team high and dry. The other choice is belt drive. Instead of a chain, a belt, just like a fan belt on a car, joins a small pulley on the engine to a larger pulley on the wheel. Belts are easier to engineer but are less efficient than chains. Their big downside is that they have a tendency to slip, particularly if they get wet, which wastes that all-important power from the engine.
We've got this option of the chain or the belt. And the trouble with the chain is that we're going to need quite a big reduction ratio,
right
to slow the speed down from the engine.
Right.
And you might have trouble doing that with one chain.
The green team, the inner spin team, haven't finally decided, I think, how they're going to get the power from the engine to the wheels. But, I mean, I reckon they'll go for the belt. I mean, they're washing machine repairmen. They know all about belts.
Yeah, I think if they've got any bits and pieces from washing machines here, they'll be able
to... probably use them. They know what they were
and
like.
And their knowledge.
The Pinks don't need to worry about any of this tricky drive business. The jammy Bodger's moped still has its chain intact, so they just plan to strip it out with the engine and back wheel and use it pretty much as is.
Jeez.
It's a big advantage for them and means the Bodgers are storming ahead.
Teams, you have 6 hours remaining.
Right, what we're going to do is we're going to make up a frame, rectangular, like that, on the end of which will be a piece of tube. Those two tubes will slide over here, sit on that. Tie rods will be pivoted at these points. Cut the handles on.
Yeah, we can.
And you can just... We'll use the throttle off the strimmer, so it's the trigger throttle.
Trigger brake.
And we'll use a brake off of a handlebar. Do you like the idea of that?
I like it, yeah. I like the sound of that, yeah.
Right.
The Bodgers are burning ahead at full throttle, but over the wall, the spins are struggling even to reach a snail pace. It's their transmission giving them jib. They had reckoned on going for a chain drive, but Trev's got serious doubts about whether they can make a chain that'll stay on.
We're just not going to be able to mount it onto a wheel accurately enough, because if it wobbles at all like that, it's going to become unmeshed. It's going to have to be so accurately fixed. That we're going to go and have a look at the potential of a pulley, of a washing pulley and a belt. It's less efficient, but it's far more reliable.
Oh, yeah, we're going to see some washing machines used on this team.
Hey, what can you say?
The only thing is, if you can find a pulley that is, you know, the
fairly
main
shallow
pulley, not a flat finished one, you know, one with a grooved,
like
a grooved pulley,
because
you've got so much more grip there.
That's less tricky to engineer than an exactly
less
accurate
tricky to engineer,
chain
but
drive.
Potentially less
efficient.
Right.
Yeah.
We've definitely got the makings of a machine.
Confident talk by the team captain, but half the day's gone and there's little sign of anything resembling a vehicle.
Feel at home, do you now?
Yeah, it's just a bit, I'm just looking at this to recondition it.
So the spins finally have their design sorted out. Their chassis is basically just a ladder, and they'll mount their 21cc hedge trimmer engine onto it. Their engine will drive a single back wheel by means of the all-important washing machine belt. Like the Bodgers, they'll have two wheelchair wheels at the front to steer, and at the moment it looks as if they too plan to hurtle round head first.
But before they can hurtle anywhere, they need to get down to some long overdue building.
How are you getting on, Wob?
I found this a multi-adjustable plate.
Oh, I like it.
After such a flurry of activity, the spins find time to settle down for some sustenance.
What we were wondering is we've only got this little amount of fuel, but are we allowed to use our own methane?
Teams, you have 4 hours remaining.
They're just so clever at doing that. A few bits of metal and they weld it all together and it's all...
Bowser is the king of welding, isn't he?
Yeah, and he was so happy doing it. It just brought a lump to my throat to see him. He was so happy.
Well, we used to do when I was an apprentice or at college. If you're somebody welding away like this with a welding rod...
Heat that bit up.
No, you'd be welding away like this and somebody'd walk up behind you and they'd grab the end of the rod and they'd pull it through your fingers like that.
Oh, no, ouch.
Undeterred by his own welding scare stories, Steve presses on flambeing their front end. But what I want to know is whether this economy lark is ever going to catch on and help the wallet of an honest family man like me.
Petrol's ever so pricey, isn't it? I wonder what the future holds.
Well, the first of many ambitious frugal schemes is this liquid nitrogen-powered beast. It's called the Cool Car and hails from the good old US of A. It works by exposing super cold liquid nitrogen to the warmth of the air, which makes it expand. As it expands in a confined space, it drives a turbine. And hey presto, futuristic power. American taxis are eco-friendly too. This one chuffs along on natural gas and cooks up the same speed as a conventional cab. But the real future could lie with hydrogen power. When hydrogen's passed through a precious metal catalyst, it's transformed into water and electricity. The electricity powers the car, the water's spat out the back. Slippery roads maybe, but a good cheap fuel since hydrogen's very plentiful. The only snag is that the engine or fuel cell costs a fortune, 10 times the cost of the car. But manufacturers reckon they'll get them cheap enough to hit our roads in the next decade.
Right, I get to find a way.
Back in the real world, the teams are battling with more prosaic issues, like how they're going to steer.
Is it just this one it's pulling?
Now, in order to get the steering, the simplest way to do it would just have a pivot.
Go-kart with a rope.
And one of the issues there is, you know, in a normal car, the wheels sort of pivot about their centre. But to avoid scrubbing off some of the speed when you go around bends, you have to make sure that these wheels turn by a different amount. And that's called something called Ackermann steering, right? But that's really tricky to organise.
Ackermann steering is the cunning design that allows London taxis to turn their famously dainty pirouettes. Normally when a car turns a corner, the wheels move in parallel and it gets round smoothly thanks to the wheels being able to turn at different speeds. Ackermann steering uses a different approach. It allows the front wheels to move at different angles, sometimes radically different, which means the car can turn much tighter corners. It's achieved by the specific alignment of independent pivots on each wheel to the steering arms, and the teams will need to get the angles just right for it to work.
Hey, look at that.
Here we are. We could do a London taxi service with that. That's
lovely.
Turning circle.
Yeah.
I say it's light.
You only need to steer one way, don't you, really? Because you're going around, I don't know which way it is there.
Well, no, whatever.
Because you haven't got a lot of straight on the track. There's a lot of bend.
Right. Yeah, but these are nice freewheeling.
They're good, aren't they? No,
good hard tyres. So, I mean, they're not really scrubbing it. That's right, no punctures, and they're not going to scrub any speed off at all or drag any power off.
Yeah.
To this hat here.
Over the wall, the Pinks have realised they've overlooked something rather important. Where to put their bodies.
Yeah. Well, I would say the wheels want to go a little bit further forwards. Yeah. Or possibly you can just... It's hard to do without just being supported. You know, you wouldn't have to be like this.
No, that's ridiculous. Try sitting the other way around.
We could, quite conceivably, we could have it like that. If we necessarily need a handle.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah. We're going to have something to stop the driver from sliding forward.
Yeah.
But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, I reckon.
Or leaning out.
So the bodgers have backed off the head-first option, but the spins are still planning on sticking their necks out, literally. They think head-first could be the best way to ride the fastest lap.
Yeah, see, I think that's going to interfere.
You look like you're in a pram, Bowser.
Well, it's sort of like a pram. Well, that's actually an invalid carriage.
it looks fantastic.
We're just trying it for size.
So you've done away with your head first?
Yeah, we decided to go feet first.
Oh, right. Why?
It's shorter.
Oh, right.
In order to go the other way around, it's got to be too long.
Yeah, which just means more weight.
Yeah.
And brakes?
We assume.
I'll get out of the way because they're doing some mechanicking.
Some crucial bits.
The original brake on the back wheel is still there.
Oh, right, yeah.
All right, and all you do is you're going to run a cable right the way to the front.
Right.
And we're going to have a bicycle-type brake.
Oh, right,
and a bicycle handlebar.
Well, I'm happy enough with the Bodger's primitive but workable bike brakes, but the spins are going for something even more Spartan.
Yeah, okay.
And so you're going to have brakes operated by your feet, presumably?
Ah, we hadn't thought about brakes.
Because you're going to be going so slowly anyway.
Well, we're going to be doing 10 miles an hour, but at the end of the day, I wonder.
It's probably fairly wide.
Hold your horses. Trev's had a brake brainwave.
What I was just thinking is, this is a wheelchair, is it not? And wheelchair has runners on.
Runners on the
outside. Runners.
So we can control
that. So if we want to stop, we can just... Whoops, hang on.
Clean throttle that.
Excellent.
Yeah, we can let go of that and just do that.
Can you still steer it?
Yeah, because you can steer it from where you are.
They're hanging down and obviously hands very near to
the ground.
Surface. I did hear that they might use the wheelchair rails on the outside to use as a braking system. Maybe they may have to think that one through again.
I think they're wearing thick gloves.
Yeah.
I hope they're wearing thick gloves. We should have given them a slalom figure of eight course. That would have tested
that. That would have been it. And it should have really been horrible, shouldn't you? That would have been great, that. You could put a water splash in.
This is looking really rather stylish, I've got to say.
Pretty reasonable, isn't it?
Teams, you have 3 hours remaining. 3 hours construction time remaining. Thank you.
3 hours? I thought he said eight last time.
Do you want to come under, why not?
The spins are... They're getting on all right.
See, actually, what they're making is genius, I think. It's going to be so light.
It's going to be really light. Well, they said it very early on. They said they were thinking they'd be able to lift it up with one hand.
Yeah,
and it looks like they probably will.
I think they will. It'll be tiny. Whereas this one is light for what it is.
Yeah.
But it's Bowser light as opposed to sort of.
It is. I don't think Bowser light. And lightweight vehicles go together. Who's your money on this?
Well, I suppose the Bodgers, really. But
really?
I mean, I don't know.
I know, because that belt looks really flimsy, doesn't it?
Well, but it spins 10 pounds of washing loaded with water. That's what.
How does 10 pounds of washing loaded with water compare with a person?
A person on the road. Probably quite good, I should think.
It's probably a completely irrelevant fact.
That probably is, isn't it?
Well, he doesn't have to jump on it.
Bowser's about to put his welding to the ultimate test. Will it take his weight?
I can live with that. Just your bounce a bit now, Bowser. I think we can live with that, can't we?
I can live with that.
We need our crossbar now. We need our crossbar now for the old footrest.
Takes me weight, no problem.
If it takes yours, we've cracked it. Here.
They're delighted with the strength of their mean machine. Only trouble is, you need to be an octopus to drive it.
Do you like it?
It's down here somewhere.
We've hit a couple of snags.
Have you?
We've got a bit of a snag with the gear change.
Design problems with the gear change.
Are you a bit low? Is that not a problem? What you'll do is change it, is clunk, clunk. Yeah.
And this here will be for changing gear. You'll move it backwards and forwards
so
like that.
All your control, so you've got brake, throttle,
brake,
and gears all on one control.
Throttle and brake all on one.
Yeah.
And gear change.
Right. So we got one hand to wave with?
Steer.
Oh, steer. Sorry. you don't steer with your feet then?
No.
we could do it, actually, if you wanted to. Myself, I don't think it's a bad thing steering with your feet.
And if you had straps on your feet or something, you could steer it like that, couldn't you?
We could.
You could.
What do you reckon, Paul?
If it leaves your hands free, do it.
Babs, what do you reckon?
What?
Foot steering.
Because you've only got to go around one way anyway, haven't you? And it's not a tight corner.
Oh, we've only got to go around one way?
Yeah, because you're going around
in
a loop,
Paul. Foot steer.
It's just a case of having something on to stop our feet sliding off.
Yeah. Right. What we do is we put two straps of steel and weld a small plate across just to stop...
It's always a worry when a team listens to an idea of mine. Wrong. I think I better check it out for myself.
Oh, yeah. No, that'd be good. Once you've got your steer... it will be quite sort of... I think oversteer might be an occasional problem.
The Greens are preparing for their first gentle spin.
Hey, lads! Lads! Look at the speed of that as well.
Well, now they're officially burning juice, time to hand over the all-important fuel receptacle for the teams to mount on their machines. It's empty, of course, until the race tomorrow. They're just using practice petrol till then.
I've got your fuel receptacle.
Ah, right. Oh, right.
Someone's been busy.
It. Ah, right.
Hand blown.
Is that right?
Yeah. And there's your marks on there. They're going to have numbers on.
Right.
So that you know what it means.
The teams have to mount their fuel containers securely on their machines so that we'll be able to see the fuel levels clearly during the race. They'll need to mount them above the engine so the fuel can flow smoothly down via a simple gravity feed into their motor.
Oh, Babs, you are a star.
What a good idea.
Babs has obviously been watching Blue Peter as she's mounting the Bodgers container with some double-sided sticky tape in a polystyrene block.
Teams, you have 1 hour remaining.
What?
1 hour's construction time remaining, Bowser.
You're having a laugh.
1 hour.
Which goes on to here.
Ready?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
Right now.
Look at that, deluxe.
With less than half an hour to play with, the Bodgers have realised a major problem with their electric start. That is, it doesn't.
So, OK, let's do it by elimination. We'll disconnect wires one by one and see how we've still got a spur. Well, so we'll just take this.
Having rather over-enthusiastically ripped the switch off their strimmer, stoical Steve's forgotten which wires were connected to which.
Now, when I connect this red to this black and green, it should all. We should have electric starting. And we should have spared. It popped the fuse there, didn't it?
Right, give us that.
And suddenly the grass isn't looking much greener on the other side. Their all-important fuel doesn't seem to be coming through.
Somewhere to go. Hang on, let's just put this on here.
We need
it.
Look.
Yeah. Why isn't it pouring through that?
Well, you're going to have an airlock in there until it builds up.
They suspect there's an airlock in their fuel pipe, so they'll need to drain it and try again.
I don't like this. It's not getting any fuel.
Are they not connected to Earth, those?
Time to go and encourage the Bodgers with some of my words of wisdom.
Look, there's some dangly ones. You never want any dangly ones at this time of the day. Yeah, well, our engine, this engine's going to rev just beautifully in a minute. Because they've got a dangly wire they found. And once they undangle it, it'll be marvellous.
Panic. So
new cable tie.
No sparks.
You're making this lot feel better.
Who's kick-starting now? Have we got...
Ready?
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Try the starter switch.
Yeah.
Right. Which ones were they connected to?
So what's happening on your side?
There's no spark on that spark plug thing that needs a spark. So it's a bit sparkless, but it's just wires. You know, but there's so many wires, and they're all holding wires like mad.
They're all holding their heads a bit as well.
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah, nice little spark, that. Yeah.
Right, doesn't make a damn bit of difference what position that's in.
Strange. Okay.
We're going to leave this in the system.
Yeah, we'll leave it in the system. Where's me rivet?
Okay, give her a kick.
The Pinks are about to test their final combination of wires. The Greens have replaced their fuel pipe and are going to have another go.
Give it some more throttle, it's cutting again.
Right, come on, let's wheel it back. Give you a blast.
And it's time for their first test run.
We're going to need a stopper.
Yeah, that's all right, I'll stop him. Let's try the gear change, eh?
Oh, here we go.
Yes. Testing.
Ready?
Go on, son. Yes, sorted.
Yeah, that's all right. Try it the other way.
That's it. The suns are gonna. Your time is up.
You better put your petrol containers under your pillows because you're going to need every single drop you've got. Yeah.
We did. We built a machine. That's the main thing. That's the main thing.
Well done, guys.
So the venue for the first Scrap Heap Challenge semi-final, a 400-metre stock car racing track in the Midlands.
Get a bit of lubrication.
As ever, we've allowed the teams a bit of last-minute tinkering to smooth out any lumps and bumps in their machines.
Lubrication. Yeah. And so what are you going? You're still going for your
coast and burn. We're going
coast
for.
And burn. I'll keep wanting to say crash and burn, and I know I mustn't.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Coast and burn. So once it's warmed up, the idea is then you coast. Yeah. And then you electric start it. You don't bump start it.
No, electric start it.
There's too much power to bump start it.
Yeah. Before the vehicle stops.
And then you're going to hug the inside of the track. Because it's possible you've got a speed advantage over the green team, isn't it? Let's face it.
Well, we've got to coast into the bend and then power out, sliding the back end round.
Right.
Confident budgers, but the spins have a few pre-race worries.
There are two worry points. The
stiff. Yeah. Only two. There's only two bits.
It's the front and the back.
The drivetrain is unknown quantity.
Yeah, the steering at the front and then the pulley at the back on the engine.
Right.
I'm a bit concerned about.
What just that it might slip?
The way that it's connected, actually.
So what's the driving strategy this team?
Well, we're going to have to run most of the time, I think.
You're going to go
because the engine's quite small.
Very, very small.
This one, yeah.
Okay, teams, gather round. Here we are at the Northampton International Grand Prix Circuit, otherwise known as a stock car track.
Quick reminder of the rules. Each driver does four laps, then your last driver can stay on for as long as it takes to run out of juice.
And talking of the precious juice, here is the man with the can, Mr. Harold Marfleet, this week's judge, who is going to pour the juice into the tank.
And we're starting with the red team.
We measured the volume of our baked bean tin as a nice round 382 millilitres. So that's the amount each team's getting in their fuel containers. And we've dyed their petrol in team colours. Your average family car would manage about 2.5 miles on that amount of petrol. The best entrant in the Shell mileage event would do 750 miles. So let's see how our teams get on.
Every last drop.
Okay.
That's it then.
Yep.
Okay. Ready to race.
Ready to race. Are you ready, teams? Get comfy. Go!
Ready, go!
First to brave the hot seat for the Bodgers team is Captain Babs. And taking it lying down for the spins is expert Joss.
Red team
are roaring
well away,
into the lead.
Yeah, well away.
Green team looking very smooth, though.
Yeah,
very
yes, smooth. Nice and steady.
Babs's plan is to drive the first couple of laps without cutting the engine. They don't want to start coasting and burning until the engine's nicely warmed up. Oh, and on the very first lap, the Greens have run into trouble. Desperate to keep their speed to an absolute minimum, Joss has stalled their ladder.
Seems to have a problem. The Greens seem to have comped.
But that hedge trimmer's raring to go again. Meanwhile, Babs is streaking ahead on that mean moped engine. She's done two laps, so only two more for her. But she's going much faster than she needs to, wasting fuel. And she still hasn't started that all-important coasting and burning. The Greens are back on the road, engine blazing and washing machine belt whirring. And now Babs is coming past to lap the Greens. Oh no, Babs has come a cropper.
Oh my God.
She lost her steering.
What happened? How on earth did she turn over?
The Bodger's vehicle hit a divot on the track and that foot steering was just too sensitive. Poor old Babs oversteered it and toppled the machine.
Wow, I just didn't see what happened. I can't believe it's turned over. I mean, it's against all.
While her teammates check over the machine, Babs is bravely getting back in and carrying on to finish her final lap.
She's a bit shaken up by it. Yeah. I would imagine it's a steering problem.
Yeah, that was a freak, yeah.
She tried to press the clutch and off she went.
Babs Munson, what a brave lady. That accident was a disaster for the Pinks. And not just for Babs. They not only spilled a few drops of precious juice, but the crash also damaged their ignition switch. Now they can't stop and start their engine. Their whole coast and burn is out of the window. It's a catastrophe! Yeah. Now remember, each team member has to do four laps and then hand over to the next driver. The Greens have done their first handover. Next to motor round for them is Motormouth Trev.
Speed is perfect.
Okay.
What with their coast and burn strategy abandoned, that awkward steering and the Greens having notched up two extra laps, Lurch and the Bodgers have their work cut out. Half an hour gone and both machines still going strong. But now Sean's on board and there's something not sounding too healthy on the green machine.
You can have another 30 seconds per lap. Slow down, more rip.
And Bowser's desperately trying to get Steve to slow down.
We're at the moment just trying to bring him down in speed, but not to a point where we start stalling again.
Right.
Because when we stall and have to do a start, that's really putting a fair bit of stress on the belt.
Yeah.
Which I'm pleased to say so far has held up.
It's doing well, isn't it?
The washing machine belt's surviving, but only just. Yeah. Each time it slips, even a fraction, that's a little bit of power lost. The Greens don't want to lose their advantage because of a dodgy belt.
Fuel's looking good on the green.
Yeah, and on the red. They've got plenty of fuel, haven't they? They're really not. If he keeps that pace up, they're really fine.
We might be here till it goes dark, till we run out.
Well, at least until the rain comes.
Yuck! British summers. We love.
The Pinks are on lap number 42 and still going strong. It's a marathon for Steve, their last driver. The teams have almost identical amounts of fuel left and the Greens are still a nose ahead. They've completed 43 laps, but the rain is spelling disaster for their belt. If there was one thing they didn't want, it was for it to get wet. And it's slipping really badly now.
You can hear it slipping.
Yeah, it will. I mean, you just can't help that. It will get better.
That's because of the wet.
Yeah, it's wet. Slipping, I mean, as it dries out, which it should do, the rain's not that bad.
Yeah.
It'll warm.
Yeah, it'll warm. It'll dry out.
See how we go when we get down the back straight where it's downhill.
Keep it going.
Of course, the Pinks are over the moon to hear the Greens are in trouble.
Is their belt slipping?
Yeah. They've got big problems.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're almost out of fuel. Just keep it going as long as you can.
But everyone's running on petrol fumes now.
And you've actually got some fuel still left visible in your container, which they're completely out.
But then they've got a carburetor full. Our carburetor's much smaller. What you see is what we've got.
And what they've got is not a lot.
Not a lot. Yeah, that's it. Right down to the bottom, is it? Right down to the bottom.
We're almost out of fuel.
Every one more lap we can do. We're in with one little bit more chance.
Really is incredibly close.
Oh, I know, it's really close.
Wouldn't believe it.
Considering we've got a 21cc against a 70cc, two-stroke versus four-stroke, belt versus chain.
You'd never believe it, would you?
It seems to be gripping better at those sort of...
It's looking horribly like the final lap for the Greens.
The final few drinks of fuel.
You've got nothing in that tube.
You've got nothing in that tube. Really close now, I tell you.
I'm going to be optimistic and cut across the corner.
But despite its slipping, that washing machine belt's hanging on in there for just a moment longer.
Come on!
Oh, he's going like a dream! No trouble. False alarm! False alarm!
There's nothing in that tube. He's running.
I mean, it's close, but that was it, so that's not final dregs quite yet.
We're running on fumes as well.
Oh, that sounds like it.
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, the Greens have stopped.
Oh! The Greens, it!
Steve just has to make it round one more lap and the Bodgers will take it.
Just keep on going. Speed's dropping off.
In the end, that slippery belt scuppered them. But ever hopeful, they're wringing out their petrol tank for those last drops.
That's it.
But it's all over. And with no petrol evident in their tank, the Pinks somehow make it around 7 more laps.
Keep it going as long as you possibly can. Good old British weather.
Well done, Rob. Well done, mate.
Good old British weather.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
And finally, the pink juice runs out.
3, remarkable!
Well done! Lap of victory! Well, the final reckoning was 53 completed laps and a bit.
Don't forget the bit.
For the spins and 59 for the bodgers. Really? So we're just doing some calculations and we should have the actual what the miles per gallon was. But I mean, that's going to be well over 100 miles per gallon.
It's going to be over 100 for both. Yeah.
In fact, the teams did much better than that. The spins managed 160 miles per gallon. And the winning bodgers achieved an impressive 178 mpg.
There you go, mate.
Oh, thank you very much indeed.
So the undoubted champs are the bodgers, who win one of those coveted places in the Scrap Heap Challenge Final.
Sound like a professional.
Next tonight, we'll look at how the Battle of the Boyne dramatically affected Northern Irish politics. It's great battles after the break.